Good morning. We begin our service with a prayer to the Lord to seek his blessing upon our worship. O God, our Father, whose praise is from those whom you have called from darkness to faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, uplift our souls to the holiness of your presence, that with pure hearts we may adore your name and worship you with joy on our lips. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Redeemer and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. The first hymn is Prepare the Royal Highway. Please stand. We follow the order of service found in the bulletin starting on the top of page 3. And we conduct this service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I'm altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, Heavenly Father, has forgiven you of all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to his will. Amen. Pray. Hear our prayers, Lord Jesus Christ, and come with the good news of your mighty deliverance. Drive the darkness from our hearts and fill us with your light. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading from Scripture is from the Old Testament book Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. When people are addressed as daughters of Zion, the prophet is talking about believers, both the Old Testament and New Testament believers. And you, from this reading, we can see that you are exhorted to rejoice with joy because of the coming Savior. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments, he has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. The section of Scripture deals with John the Baptist's ministry. An important part of his ministry was to call sinners to repentance. And there were many in the midst of the people he was addressing that were really interested in doing that. But there were those who did repent. And it speaks of fruits of repentance. What shows you are really sorry and you believe and you love the Lord. Then he, John the Baptist, said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And so he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Now as the people were in expectation, and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but the one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of hymn 335, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice. Thank you. Please stand for the reading of this scripture text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, dear fellow redeemed, in the many Christmas hymns, carols, and songs, there is one recurring thought that you'll find time and again. That is joy. Listen to some of the opening phrases in the following Christmas hymns. Come rejoicing, praises voicing, Christmas day is breaking. Joy to the world. Rejoice, rejoice, this happy morn. And now sing, we now rejoice. Again and again, these hymns remind us that we have reason for joy at Christmas time, especially because of the birth of our Savior. To this, our scripture text today adds that we always, always have reason for joy. Many celebrants agree we have reason to be joyful at Christmas time, but for many, the idea of being joyful in any and every situation sounds rather fanciful and even impossible. People have said there is joy at Christmas time, provided workers have time off to celebrate the holiday, and there are decorations to adorn the house, and presents are given and received, and also if there's special food to be eaten. But then, these same individuals may question how a person could be joyful other times of the year, like after the holidays, when a person is facing the many problems of daily living, such as going back to the salt mines to work, taking down the decorations, paying for the Christmas gifts, and taking off that excess weight that oftentimes is gained in the holidays. And then there's also encountering unkind people, sickness, accidents, tragedies. Paul, really? Do we always have reason for joy, even when we're faced with these problems? The reason why many fail to see how a person can have reason for joy, even during trials and tribulations, very often they fail to recognize the ultimate and primary reason for joy at Christmas time. I would venture to say that while we know the reason for Christmas joy, still there are times when problems touch our lives and we lose sight of reason for joy. What's the basis for this seemingly fanciful notion that we can experience joy in any and every situation of life? It's found in the joyous message an angel of the Lord made known to certain shepherds on the hills outside of Bethlehem, saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We're reminded here that we have reason for perpetual joy is found in the Christ child. This message comes across to us when we sing the Christmas hymns that exhort us to rejoice with joy. We sing, "All my heart this night rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angels' voices. Christ is born," their choirs are singing. "Joy to the world, The Lord has come. And rejoice, rejoice this happy morn. A Savior unto us is born, the Christ, the Lord of glory. Whether or not there's a vacation during the holidays, or we can get together with the relatives, or decorations, or presents, or special dinners to be eaten this season of the year, the reason we find reason for joy is because of the wonderful event of our Savior coming into this world to bless us with a spirit of joy that never ends. Reminded by the Apostle Paul in today's text that it's because of the coming of the Lord and his redemptive work as our Savior that we can find reason for joy in every and any situation of life. Sometime back, there was an advertisement leading up to the Christmas holidays that said, "Give the gift that keeps on giving." In the case of the Heavenly Father, sending his beloved Son into this world as our Savior and blessing us with faith to believe in him, we receive the priceless Christmas gift from God that keeps on giving joy every day. When the apostle exhorted the Philippians to rejoice in the joy always, they were to understand the exhortation meant, now you have reason for joy even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Knowing Paul's personal experiences, they knew that he was not just talking the talk, he was walking the walk of a joyful Christian. It was on Paul's first missionary journey to Philippi that Paul was beaten and thrown into prison for his gospel ministry. And then in the middle of the night, people could hear him singing joyful songs to the Lord. What did he have reason to be singing about with joy? Beaten, imprisoned. That's nothing to give you any joy. Well, he thought of his Savior Jesus and all that Jesus went through for him, all that he suffered and endured from him as his Savior, and he was happy that he could show his love and his thankfulness to Jesus to suffer for him, to suffer for his kingdom's sake, the kingdom of glory. The very letter Paul sent to the Philippians was written while he was in chains in Rome. In the face of trials of life, Paul's epistle to the Philippians is filled with expressions of joy. In fact, if you were to find one word that served as a theme for this letter, it's joy. You find him exhorting the reader again and again in this letter to be rejoicing with joy in the Lord. Paul was very joyful and thankful that he had these fellow Christians to support him, to help him, pray for him, to give him gifts. They even sent him Epaphroditus, a friend of Paul, to help him in prison. Since our Heavenly Father ever loves us and treats us according to his divine wisdom and his abundant grace for Jesus' sake, we rejoice knowing that whenever he sends or permits a problem to come our way, he's always using it for our good, for our blessing. And so we find in the Epistle of James this exhortation, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." With the Lord always being in our midst, overseeing our lives and blessing us in so many different ways, we can find joy in the midst of sorrow, as he comforts, strengthens, and uplifts our grieving spirit and gives us reason for hope. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." I'll give you an example of being able to be joyful in times of sadness and sorrow. Think of the times when you've lost a loved one in death, someone who's died in the Lord, and you can comfort them in the knowledge that loved one is in heaven, experiencing perfect joy that never ends. And also they can be encouraged that someday they too, having faith in Christ, they too will be joining their loved one in heaven with all the saints of heaven because of the eternal salvation of Christ. In the earthly realm, there are many things that can rob us of joy. Some of those robbers of joy include feelings of fear, worry, and anxiety. Whenever we fix our eyes on the storms of life, our hearts are overwhelmed with fear, dread. Since we are susceptible to such woeful feelings, the Word of God would drive out those anxious feelings and replace them with feelings of joy. Here we find Paul saying to us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." With this, Paul says, you don't have a reason in the world to worry. Why? It's because Jesus came into this world as our Savior, and because of Him and His redemptive work, God looks upon us as His children, that He loves, and He'll take care of us in any situation, tending to all our needs, wants, and cares. So do you ever have a reason to be worried, to be anxious, if the Lord is watching out for you? No. Because Jesus purchased and won for us the gracious favor of God by His life, death, and resurrection, whenever we're faced with any kind of trial, trouble, or difficulty, we can bring the matter to the Lord in prayer. And we know that He'll always answer it, and He'll do whatever it is that will serve for our good. In the book of the Psalms, the Lord says to us, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Another baneful thing in life that could rob us of joy is our consciences, plagued with guilt and fear of God's righteous wrath. And when we're not mindful of Christ, it robs us of peace, inner peace, and peace with God. The answer to a guilty conscience was voiced by the Christmas angels who praised God concerning the birth of the Savior, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The heavenly angels were singing about the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, who blesses us with peace, which the world can't give us. It's peace in knowing we have forgiveness through Jesus. There's no sin that separates us from God. There's no sin that separates us from heaven because of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And when you know this, you have peace of heart and mind, and you have joy. Listen to what Paul writes concerning God's peacemaking work in Christ Jesus. "God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them." God made peace through our Savior Jesus by not charging us with our sin, not holding it against us. That peace is experienced by us when we accept it by faith in Jesus' redemptive work. There's no greater peace than peace of mind and peace with God. Paul says of this precious gift of peace that The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace of God in Christ Jesus stands as a sentry of our heart to guard and keep us from being distressed and overwhelmed with feelings of anxiety. This peace keeps our hearts from being tormented and overwhelmed by sin. In our Savior Jesus, we not only have peace of heart, we have joy and the knowledge of our salvation. Because of Jesus and all he's done for us as our Savior, we mercifully can find joy in any and every situation of life. May the knowledge of our Savior God's loving care for our souls and our earthly welfare always fill our hearts with joy. Truly, he's never-ending source of great joy and gladness to all those who look to him in faith. Now, as a postscript to this sermon, did you notice how many times they used the word joy? Quite a few times. Now, I'll ask you another question. Do you know what the theme of Paul's letter to the Philippians is? And it's only one word. Joy. So in this letter, Paul again and again impresses upon his readers and us, you always have reason for joy in the Lord. And to this we say, amen and amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn. Oh, rejoice, be joyful, ye Christians loudly. O God, according to your promise, you will never leave nor forsake your believers. Abide then with Daniel. Be his shield and strength to overcome all the devices of Satan. In times like these, war against the soul, let him not waver in his trust and in his love for you. Use this occasion to purify and strengthen his faith. The good work that you have begun in him, keep it to the very end. Let him never lose sight of you as his loving, merciful God, who is his ever-present help in time of need, and to whom he may go in the day of trouble for deliverance. Hear his prayer of faith, as well as ours, and preserve his life, restoring him to health. Lord, you have power to make well, if it is your will to do so. According to your compassion and loving kindness, give rest to his body, which is weary and worn from pain. Above all, console him with the peace which transcends all understanding, peace that comes from sins forgiven and hope of heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who established this peace in his own suffering. Jesus, Word of God made flesh, to whom the world was formed, and by whose word all things are upheld, we stand in humble awe and reverence before the great mystery of your incarnation. The reason cannot comprehend how you, the Almighty Son of God, the Creator and Preserver, could be born on earth of a woman and live here as our flesh and blood brother. You are both God and man. But what we cannot understand with our minds, you have graciously enabled our hearts to accept by faith. We thank and praise you that through the Holy Spirit, you have directed our hearts to bow in faith before you. You are indeed our God, who is made flesh, our sin bearer, our substitute under divine wrath, our savior from sin, our righteousness, our hope, our joy, and our peace. Through your Spirit, keep us in true repentance, so that we may ever confess our sins and unworthiness and continually trust the sacrifice you made on the cross to save us. O Savior of the world, send the Holy Spirit to create faith in every heart through the gospel, so that every sinner may find in you forgiveness for his sins and eternal rest and salvation for his soul. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, empowering us to testify to others that they too have been ransomed by your blood, and be pleased to use our testimony as you effectively call sinners to you. Lord, increase our faith so that with your help we'll be able to chase out worries, cast out all our doubts, subdue every desire in us to sin, and change our gloom and depression to joy and hope. At last, bring us safely to yourself in heaven, and together with all the saints, we will gladly sing our hosannas to you through endless ages. We ask all these things, knowing that as our Lord and loving Savior, you can and will hear us. And in your name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.